A possible new social policy. On the basis of these insights, we should once for all give up the taboo on child sexuality and also the taboo on consenting love and sex between children and adults not related in direct line. The reason is that intergenerational love outside of the family really is a way out of the fusion with the matrix and all the problems it creates. Intergenerational love has an important initiatory function for children in their social relatedness, and it represents an acceptable and constructive way to foster the autonomy of the child in a society that is generally against the powerful child. As such, it has an important regulatory function in modern society. To bring this about, we have to put an end to sexual hypocrisy and accept the benefits that intergenerational love will provide in our society. Furthermore, we have to raise children in an harmonically functional, sane, healthy, and permissive way so as to foster their sensuality, and we have to discard out all forms of educational violence. Finally, we have to put an end to sexist ideals and raise children in an integrated way, a way that preserves the anima in boys and the animus in girls, because this will assure a lucky balance of their yin-yang energies. The present education is a system that cripples the child's emotional and sexual wholeness and creates a high anxiety potential in our young generations. But with fear, no problem can be solved and no loving world be brought about. Worse, fear separates us from our true authentic self and brings about an authority-craving, opportunist, and weak character that is prone to all kinds of manipulation and collective lies in which ideological costume ever they come about. If we are to survive as a human race, we have to bring about exactly the contrary character traits in our children. This is not possible without raising the immanent consciousness in ourselves and them, which is for me the ultimate socio-political step needed in every present or future reform of our sexual laws and customs. The problem of power and abuse seen under this perspective reveals to be a secondary problem, as personal power for the naturally raised child is a byproduct of his or her autonomy. Power only becomes a problem when it is repressed, when it is thwarted. Love too has power, but it's not a power that degrades, abases, and violates. Thus, the problem is not power, but how we handle it. Power abuse, then, is not a result of power, but of the repression of power, which creates depression. The high rate of depression today in major civilizations testifies for this fact. It shows that most people's emonic structure has been thwarted and that they have lost their natural primary power and are striving to gain more secondary powers in the form of social status, material possessions, and dominance over others. Once we understand that, we understand all. Life itself is power. Nature is powerful. It can not only create but also destroy its very creation. Think only of an earthquake. While we might not be able to ultimately control the power of nature, we can positively influence it, as the sages of old taught us, by handling our own human power responsibly.